You are listening to a sermon by Chan Yang, recorded on Sunday, August 21st, 2022, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Thank you, Paul. On August 28, 1963, 250,000 people from across the country descended on the Mall in Washington, D.C. to hear Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. give his famous I Have a Dream speech. The organizers didn't send out 250,000 invitations, and there was no website to check the date, nor was there an email list, phone list, et cetera, et cetera. But how did they get 250,000 people to show up on the right time, at the right day, at the right place? This is an excerpt from a book written by Simon Sinek called Start With Why. Sinek released a book in 2009. He proposes an interesting option, idea. How are people able to gather so precisely to hear a preacher speak at the nation's capital? He goes over many great leaders, especially in the recent years, of how they inspire businesses, NGOs, and other causes, and how what's the common factor between all of them. Some of the leaders he goes over are Sam Walton, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Martin Luther King Jr., and many, many more. He defines that each of these leaders have a clear sense of why. I'll give you an example. Sam Walton created Walmart, one of the biggest retailers worldwide, and a massive success for the family that created it. Quote, he believed that if he looked after people, people would look after him. The more Walmart could give to employees, customers, and the community, the more that the employees, customers, and the community would give back to Walmart. Sam Walton was quoted saying, "We're all working together, and that's the secret," unquote. Sam Walton did not invent the low-cost shopping method model. In fact, when Walmart first opened its doors, it had many, many different competitors. In fact, Walton even admitted to, quote, stealing ideas from other businesses like FedMart. What's interesting about Walton is that in everything that he did, he had a very clear, strong sense of why he did it. And this resonated through his hows and whats. What do I mean by why, how, and what? Well, let me direct your attention to the golden circle, including this week's bulletin. Simon Sinek introduces his concept of the golden circle in his book. If we have a clear, strong sense of why, it affects how we do our activities and what we do. Simon Sinek's why of serving the community allowed him to create his how. How would he serve his community? By creating a cheap big box store like Walmart. What did he do with Walmart? He created the biggest store in America so that even people in rural America could afford the same things as city America. Walton knew the why, the how, and the what. But with Walton's death in 1992, the why is now only forgotten. Only the how, the big box store, and the what, low price, remain. Myself as an individual born in 1995 only know Walmart as a cheap big box store that's riddled in controversy. Sinek explains without a good sense of why, only the what and the how are left. And without the why, the what and the how are just a husk of the original purpose. Although the why should be the goal and the start of any organization, and even churches, most often we only discuss the how and what's. How do we increase membership? What should we do to raise the funds? We've all been in these discussions before, in our work, in our social circles, and sometimes even in our church circles. Sinek goes on to explain that although the proper approach for any organization is inside out of the golden circle, the why, the how, the what, we often only start from the outside in, the what, the how, and the why. Let me explain. The wrong way to do it is by me saying, quote, the what, the how, and the why. The what, I sell phones. How, they're high quality. Why, please buy it. Versus me saying, I like to challenge the status quo. That's the why. But what about the how? By creating new innovative products. That's the how and the what. One of such products happens to be the iPhone. Would you like to buy? What's a more captivating advertising line? Today, we read Acts chapter 3, and I really enjoyed chapter 3 quite a bit. The writer strategically placed the story right after the Pentecost, the formation of the church. I personally like to see the Pentecost as the climax of Jesus' story with the birth of the church. And chapter 3 ends up being something like an epilogue. Well, the rest of Acts kind of does. But this is the first story that gets told. Now, this time, I want to tell the story within the context of the golden circle. And because Scenic always says we're so used to explaining from outside in, I'm going to do it from outside in. The what. What happened in Acts chapter 3? The what is really simple. The two men, the two disciples of Jesus, heals a lame man. That's the what. But this could be symbolic and literal in many ways. The church is what, as in after the story after the Pentecost. So this could be considered the church is what. This is pretty simple. Be on the side of the weak, heal the sick, help the poor. We read another passage where Jesus healed another sick person during a Sabbath day, which was forbidden at his time. The church is what, or its function, is to feed those that are hungry, heal those that are sick, and be on the side of the weak. The what is pretty simple in this story. Now let's work a further way in from the golden circle. What about the how? How did these two men help the lame person? The easy answer is through the Holy Spirit. The Pentecost gave them, they had this experience with the Holy Spirit. And verse 2 reads that the man was put at the temple every day to beg from those going into the temple. That means Peter and John, who were probably at the temple regularly, must have seen this man before. Again, verse 2 reads that the man was there every day. But before, Peter and John didn't think about reaching out to them. But what made them change? Well, the only change before Acts chapter 3 is the fact that they had the experience of the Holy Spirit. And that's the how. Every day the man was at the temple begging for help, but only after experiencing the Holy Spirit did Peter and John have the courage, the bravery, and the ability to speak to that person. So now we get a sense of what and the how, but the why, well, that's the million-dollar question. Why were Peter and John there to help them? But I still think the story has the answer to the why else, even though it's not as clear as it may look in the first part. But let me explain this in a very more extreme and close example. If at one moment anyone in PJMF lost everything that they had in a fire, I can assure you that we will find an outpouring of support from many individuals from within our congregation ready to open their doors and help in any way. The support network and the reach we have here in PJMF is strong and tightly knit. In fact, as a lay-led congregation, we have no one on staff to take point and drive things. Instead, we're all volunteers driven by our each and individual sense of why we do things. But I think we do what we do because we love the people that we are with. And I think that's the simple $1 answer to the million-dollar question. You simply have to love the company, love the people, and love the time that you spend. Peter and John, through the Holy Spirit, was able to love that person, that beggar that was there every day. Maybe not before, but after, they were able to get the courage, the bravery, and the required amount of oomph to speak to that stranger. I sometimes go to Chinatown and the Vancouver East Side quite often, mainly because I had to work with the Chinatown Peace Church and I have friends that live there. And I have to be honest, I am not that brave, nor am I not that courageous to talk to those individuals in the tent city to help them. And I dare not tell them, walk in the name of Christ. That requires a sense of love, bravery that I do not have. But that's the why, the what, and the how. The why is that we love everyone unconditionally. How is through the Holy Spirit. What happens when we do that? It creates miracles. That's why this story is so important. It highlights the why, the how, and the what of the church. Why we must exist. The scripture passage today shows us what the church with a strong sense of why can achieve through the how and what, like I mentioned, a straight up miracle by allowing someone that could walk that couldn't. Let's go back to Dr. King for a moment. He was not the only person alive during the time who knew there was a problem in America. He knew change had to happen. In fact, there was many people at the time that knew America needed change. His clarity of why, his sense of purpose, though, gave him the strength and energy to continue his fight against often seemingly insurmountable odds. The details of how and what to do to achieve civil rights were very debatable, but to Dr. King, the why was ever clear. In fact, Dr. King didn't propose a 12-point plan to get rid of racial tensions in America, nor did he give a speech on his SMART goals to achieve civil equality among Black and white Americans. Martin Luther King didn't name his speech, "I Have a Plan." He simply said, "I have a dream." And that is the what, the sense of dream and the sense of purpose. Scenic says that this needs to be clearly communicated within the organization for the how and the what to be effectively reached. I want to close off this meditation with why I chose this topic, among others. On October 23rd, 2021, so roughly 10 months ago last year, I became a parent to a healthy baby daughter, Yuna. She's 10 months old now, and in the past few months, I've struggled with my why and faith. I want to pass on my faith, just like my parents have done before me. There's a weird tradition in Korea where we count the generation of Christianity your family's been. It's just because Christianity is so new in Korea. Well, in our family, we can proudly say I'm a fifth generation Christian, which is very, very old in our country. But Scenic explains, without a strong sense of why, a purpose, the how and the what get lost. The how and the what of attending church is easy. Give during offering time, volunteer a few hours in a week at a local cause, attend church every Sunday morning. But why we do that, why I choose to continue to do that, is still a mystery to Yuna. She can clearly see the how and the what. And I still struggle to communicate my why, even to my own wife. It's definitely not as strong as Scenic wants it to be. I'll use an example of Walmart. Walmart, a company once renowned for its very strong sense of why, after Walton's death, has now completely lost it. Nearly every scandal that has centered around Walmart is on how poorly they treat their customers, employees, and community, which Walton wanted to serve. For the health of the church, and my own faith, and your own personal faith, I think it's imperative to ask why we do what we do. Yes, I think Acts chapter 3 gives us a hint, why we need to love, how we need to through the Holy Spirit, and what we create miracles. But that's just one example. I think the body of Christ can have many different whys and many different hows and whats. So now I ask the congregation as I close, why do we do what we do?